West, all the way from the Philippines. Pastor Ray Lierna kicked off his trip with us, and then this is his last Sunday until he goes back. So before we give him our best standing ovation, because that's what I want to do for this awesome man of God, thank you, I want us to pray, because he will not mention it, but it's important to us to know that his building in the Philippines that has a school, because of COVID and them having to shut down, is about 70 G's behind, and it owes the bank money. And they will seize that whole building and the school and all the work that they do for the children there and have done there for 40 years if he doesn't get that $70,000. And so we've given tens of thousands already, but they're only $15,000 away from the goal. And some of you are still interested, and you keep giving. Thank you. We just sent them another check just this week because you guys are giving. I wanted to give you an update. And as well in this church, we don't want to have any pressure to give. The Bible says do not give under pressure, but I wanted to make that known to you, and then we're going to pray for him for that need to be met, because the long story short is he should be in his years of retirement just traveling around and visiting the churches, but the person that he had put in charge caused these issues, and then when COVID came, they were already behind, and then it made it worse. And so Philippines, to those who didn't know, during COVID was one of the worst nations to be in. It was like Australia and some of those other nations. The president was so against people doing anything that he actually shut down media outlets that would speak against it. So those of you who are not aware of that. So we're going to pray for this to come in, whether it's through you or just through other churches, because it needs to happen very soon. So I know this is serious. It's not something that we want to hear right before we hear our guest speaker, but I care about him. He's like the grandfather I never had. Okay, I had two grandfathers, but they didn't serve the Lord. Maybe they were Christians in name only. I don't know if I get to see him in heaven. It'll be cool. It'll be like, yeah, that's great. But this is my spiritual grandpappy right here. And what is his need is my need. And so I have to bring that to you. And he wouldn't have mentioned it. But can we just now pray that this will happen? God, we ask you to bless the Philippines. We ask you to be with this property, Father God, that's important to you because of all the children that go to school there, Lord. We ask you to supply the need. We ask you, O Lord, to raise up others in this place and ourselves to partner together to cancel this $15,000 debt remaining so that the legacy, Father God, of this ministry will continue on past even 40 years, Lord, until you return. We thank you for your faithfulness in this man of God's life. We thank you for his children that work there as well and all those who faithfully serve and all of the pastors and the churches that they have started and all of the orphanages and the feeding programs that they do even outside of that school as well, Father. We ask you to bless them and to supply this need in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. If you give towards missions, put Pastor Ray. We'll make sure it gets to him. Let's all stand to our feet and put our hands together for the man of God of faith and power for the hour. We bless the God in the man today. Hallelujah. We love you, Bishop. This is the Bishop of the Philippines, United States, Vietnam, Thailand. How many nations have you been to?
How many
nations? How many nations?
Oh, boy. I've been to six continents. I didn't even count how many nations.
Yeah, tons of nations. And how many pastors consider you a pastor to them across the world? How many?
700.
About 700. Bless the Lord one more time. Come on.
Praise the Lord. God is good. I said, God is good. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, what an awesome privilege for us to be in your presence. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for redemption. We give you praise for the opportunity to lift up our voices and give gratitude, worship, and thanksgiving for who you are. Father, I pray that today your name will be exalted and glorified. Our lives will be sanctified and edified so that we'll be pleasing to you as we continue to strive in serving you. Lord, bless this church. Bless Pastor Joe and Sister Nancy and the leadership. Continue, Lord, to increase them in every level. And I pray that your favor will continue, Lord God, to pour out upon their lives and this ministry. We open up now our hearts to your word. Feed us this morning, Lord. Satisfy the longing of our hearts. And we'll give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. Now, before you sit down, let's give God the best clap offering we can give. Amen. And let's just make a shout to the Lord. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. It is good to be in the presence of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. I was not expecting to preach this morning. I told Pastor Joe, I'm leaving on Tuesday and I have no church to go to preach, but I said I would rather come to meet to praise because this is my home church when I'm here, and just say goodbye and just for the last time before I fly on Tuesday to say hello. Amen. Thank you for all of your support. This church has been the biggest giver in our ministry for the past 4 years that I have known. I have known your pastor for a long time. Amen. I think since 1996 when I first met him. Praise the Lord. Let's turn our Bible. Oh, by the way, okay, pray for my travel. I need to really have a rest for travel because 2 days after I arrive, I'll be traveling 12 hours by bus to go to one of our churches to install another pastor, because the pastor has now stepped down as the age has caught up. And so now I need to install a new pastor there. Following the next week, I will be traveling by plane to another island. For the whole churches in that island, 5 of them are congregating because they have not seen me for 5 months because I've not been there since October. And so they are going to gather all of the churches in one place so I can minister, and they are planning of something special for people that they will invite. It will be almost like an evangelistic outreach, and it will be an open field. So pray for us. Amen. Just good report before I go on to the Word of God. For the past month, they discovered that my prostate has enlarged, and there was some discomfort and thing that was going on in my body. But thank God, all of the tests came back. There's no cancer in my prostate, and it is clear now. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I'm leaving, nothing to worry whatsoever, because God has already taken care of it. Amen. I love you guys, and I will miss you. Turn your Bibles to the 13th chapter of the book of Genesis, and I'm just going to talk to you something that has been being ministered to me by the Spirit of the Lord. This is the story about Abraham has been prospered and blessed by God beyond measure. And his son, his nephew who came along with him, you know, partook with the blessing. I want you to understand that whether we can be a blessing or a curse to people around us. Our lives cannot only be a blessing to us, it should be a blessing to people around us. The light must shine to everyone in the dark. And the salt must satisfy everyone that are hungry to eat. And we're the salt of the earth and we're the light of the world. And we need to maintain that, you know, for our testimony. The story went further that Abraham and Lot began to really prosper. And their servants, both of them, had conflict. I want you to understand that the flesh and the spirit will always have conflict. We need to decide with whom we are going to have control of our lives. It's too easy for the flesh to rise up. Okay, but the spirit is always willing to subdue the flesh. So it should never be a difficulty on our part to control the appetite and the desire of our carnal, fallen nature. Because the Spirit of God gives us power and ability to overcome. And so there was a conflict, and Abraham said, there should be no conflict between us. We are family, so let us part from each other. said, "If you turn to the right, I will turn to the left." And Lot was given the first privilege to make a decision. And whatever left over, that will be mine. But I want you to understand, God doesn't give left over. He's always give fresh, new. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And so Lot decided that when he looked over the valley of Jordan, that his future is bright there. And so he packed up his things without even praying, without even consulting the direction of God. He just decided on what he can see with the naked eye, which always deceive us, because not everything that is shining and glittering is gold. And sometimes we are deceived by what we see, but there is a second pair of eyes that see better, which is the eyes of faith, the eyes of holiness, the eyes of consecration, the eyes of dedication, the eyes of surrender. And when you do that, you will see the things that only the Spirit can see. So he packed up his things, moved to the Valley of Jordan, the city of Gomorrah. Now, looking now on chapter 13, verse 14, it says in there, "And the Lord said to Abram," this is before his name was changed to Abraham. In the 17th chapter of Genesis, his name was changed to Abraham. And God said to Abraham, "Now, you know, I'm the Almighty God, walk with me." And as he walked with the Lord, his life was changed and his name was transformed also. And I said, and the Lord said to Abram, after Lot and had separated from him, "Lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward." So every direction from the four corner of the sanctuary is you look beyond the wall, and God said, look to every direction. And this is what he said, "For all the land." Say with me, all the land. When we say all the land, it's not the dirt, it's not the ground, but the people that lived in that land. He said, "All the land which you see," can you see it? "Outside the four walls of this church, that you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. Not only for you, but the generation that will follow after you. Your legacy should never stop. Your testimony should never die. Your influence should never stop. We need to continue to pass it on to the next generation. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk." Wow, this is a powerful word. "Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you." I want you to understand, it is God who is speaking. Okay. Go to your job, that's your land, and expect God give you your promotion, your inheritance. Then Abram moved his tent and went and dwelt in the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord. I'd like to title this message this morning is A Life of Total Separation. A life of total consecration to God. A life of total surrender to the Lord. And a life that is fully consecrated to God. To separate means to draw a line. This is how far you can go. In the book of 2 Corinthians, God said to the church of the Corinthians, "Get out from among them. Be ye separate. Touch not the unclean. And you will be my children, my people, and I will be your God." And the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 12, said, get out from the world. That's not the things of the world. He said, do not conform to this world. Do not adapt to the style and the program of this world. Be separate. Be sanctified. Be holy. Be consecrated so that you will know, understand, perceive, and comprehend that which is good, perfect, and acceptable will of God for your life. To everything that is of God, there is a price to pay. The things of the Spirit doesn't come easy. You need to fight for it. The devil will never allow you and I, if he can make it, to serve God, to live a life pleasing to God with honesty, integrity, with righteousness, godliness, and holiness. A life that is totally separated only for the purpose of God. In the Old Testament, everything that is furniture and instrument used in the tabernacle is sanctified and consecrated to the Lord. Everything in the temple was consecrated and sanctified because it's the house of the Lord. But I submit to you that we are not just worshiping in this building as a church. We are the church of the living God. We are the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. He abides in us, and His glory should radiate in us. And it can only happen if we draw the line. Sin is sin. Righteousness is righteousness. Godliness is godliness. Truthfulness is truthfulness. Faithfulness is faithfulness. There is no other alternative. And then when we separate ourselves for God, then we will hear the voice of the Lord. How many of you would like to hear the voice of God? How many of you would like to hear what does say the Lord for your life? And if you are not hearing it, maybe you must look into this verse. It's time to separate for God. And then you will hear the voice of God. It's so interesting, he said, until Abraham and Lot separated from themselves, that God began to speak. Now, I'm not just going to say separate from the world, though it is very important. But even in the church, even in the body of Christ, we need to learn to separate, because there are people who worship the Lord in all the churches around the world that are carnal. There are people who give their tithes, who sing the song, but still not walking in their spirit. Hello. There are complainers and murmurers in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are people who say things by their lips, but they live their life contradictory to what the Word of God says for us to do. So therefore, we must separate ourselves from people who are gossipers, fault finders, self-righteous. We need to separate ourselves from people who are not lifting us spiritually, but bringing us down. Separate from people who cannot inspire, who doesn't inspire you to love God, to serve God, to honor God, and to obey God. Get out from among them. And if you are that person, it's time to turn around. It's time to consecrate. And when you call about consecration or separation, it means death. And as long as we are living in the flesh, we are never going to be fully consecrated to God. But the Bible said that we need to deny ourselves. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. And the Apostle Paul said, we need to mortify the deeds of the flesh. Hello? We need to kill and crucify the desire of the flesh. So when we talk about consecration, we need to come to Romans 12 that we need to present our bodies a living sacrifice. When it talk about living sacrifice, it means in the Old Testament, the offering of animals must be alive. When he brings it to the tabernacle, and it will be killed in there. So in other words, in the New Testament, we bring our body alive, and we consecrate it to be burned as a living sacrifice to God. It was only during the time when Elijah prayed and the fire came down, the glory of God revealed. Only when the fire consumed the sacrifice, even the stones and lick all the waters in the trenches, the glory of God, the power of God, the manifestation of the majesty of God was revealed into the eyes of the people. And they began to see, the Lord is God, the Lord is God. And the church of the living God must come to that point. We need to pay the price of separation. We separate nowadays that recycling is now mandatory. There's a bin for recycling. There's a bin for this, and you put all of these things that needs to be recycled in their recycling bin. They separate that because that's money. But your life is more worth than an empty bottle of water or a Coke. Okay? Your life contains the glory of the invisible, eternal, glorious God. And through you and I, His glory and majesty and beauty will be revealed. And the only Christ that the world will know is the Christ that dwells in you and in me. And if we are not showing that, the world will never be saved. So going back to the separation, God said, now that you have separated, open your eyes. Hallelujah. That's the person next to you. Open your eyes. Okay. See the Lord. Yeah. I was in a service a few years ago. The worship leader said, folks, we were all standing worshiping the Lord, and he said, folks, let's all close our eyes and focus it to the Lord, and let us sing this song, open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus. Okay. So I open up my eyes. It's about time for us to open our eyes and see. Look and see. Jesus said, lift up your eyes and see that the field is white and ready to be harvested. But there are few laborers. Pray therefore for the laborers to come. And when you pray, the 99.99% will say to you, go. Amen? He said, now look to your east, to your west, to your north and south. I don't know where west and east right now. You know where it is. But from the perspective where you are, wherever you look, God is there. And wherever you look, God is there. And when God is there, the work of God is there. And wherever you direction you look, that's your responsibility. See, you know that word see means to understand. Not just look. But there are people who are looking, but they are not really seeing. There was one guy in the 40s here in the city of San Francisco. He got filled with the Holy Spirit, and God has given him a passion for soul. So he said to the Lord, Lord, how can I reach people? During this time, they will wear placards, repent, But in the back, I think you saw some of the picture of that. And this man said, what can I do? So the idea came to him. He went and stood in front on the corner of Market Street and Powell, where the trolley, you know, the cable car. And the idea came, and I said, hey, look at this. And the people gathered, and they started looking. And there was a crowd gathered, and they could not see. I said, where are you looking? We cannot see when you're looking. And I said, Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again. Are you ready? And then he preached, and most everybody accepted the Lord. Because until you see it, it will have no impact in you. When you see it with understanding, hallelujah, the urgency of it, when you perceive the importance of it, it will move you. Or not. I hope it will move us. And he said, look to every direction. This is the only church in America that I've been that constantly, religiously go out on the streets and preach the gospel. I have never seen anywhere in America like this. We used to do that when I was pastoring in San Francisco. Every Saturday, we knock on doors. Sometimes they open, sometimes not. Keep up the good work. Never get tired of doing it. Because people are seeing you and they might laugh at you, but you are making an impact whether you realize it or not. And then God said to Moses, for the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. I want you to see that your own family will be saved. See it. Walking into the church, worshiping the Lord. Be a light in your family. Jerusalem first, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Let your friends see how God revolutionized your life. Let the people around you at work, in the community, at your own family, that you have been transformed by the power of God's precious grace and the blood of Jesus Christ. Let them see who you are now that you are in Christ. Not just that you preach by your words, but you preach by the life changed and transformed by the power of God. That is more powerful than any word that we can speak. I will give it to you. When my children were young, 5 years old, my eldest was 5 years old. I began to weep to God, before God. I said, God, I want my daughter, my first child, that was my first child, to serve the Lord. I weep before God. And then the Lord said to me, then stand on my verse that I've given in the word of God, Acts 16:31. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy household. And I claim that they are not angels. My three kids, two girls and one boy, they are not angels. But I wept before God, and I let them see who Christ in my life. And to this day, they will say, my daughter Leah is 50 years old now, coming September. Not married yet, because he said to me, Dad, I'm looking for a man just like you. I said, honey, you'll never find a man like me. Because in her recollection, she never saw me complain. She never heard me murmur. She never heard me any discussion where I said, Dad, you are an embodiment of the gospel. My three children love the Lord and they are serving God. It's because I sow them in my spirit. They're going to preach the word of God. They're going to be declaring the oracles of the Lord. We're going to live a life pleasing to God. We're going to live the world and surrender to God. Well, it took my son a long process. Keep running away from the calling of God. Working with at Lufthansa, earning big money. And he said, I will double my mission giving. Just don't let me be a pastor. Lord, I'm going to support more missionary. That's my ministry. He got involved in all kinds of ministry in the church, including changing diapers in the nursery, feeding the homeless. But never, Lord, do not call me to become a pastor. Well, he got struck with serious leukemia and 8 hours to live. When the doctor said, if you were 8 hours late in coming to the emergency room, he will be dead. He could have been dead. So I told him, I said, keep running to God, away from God. Do not serve the Lord. You're going to end up 6 feet below the ground. And then in the hospital, he consecrated his life. Left the work, promising work. Okay, he was in charge of the big region of handling the Lufthansa cargo department, which contracted by the U.S. government. He called me one day, Dad, pray for me. I'm in trouble. I said, why? Because we arranged people from Afghanistan that were killed in the war to be shipped by Lufthansa to America, but it was shipped to India, and we are looking for it. I'm going to be in trouble. So let's pray right now. And 1 hour later, he said, they're shipping it back to the United States from India. I told him, you keep running away from God, you end up 6 feet below the ground. It's time for us to be mindful of the things of the kingdom of God. Rapidly saying in here that your blessing, your descendants will be not only your own physical descendant, but the spiritual descendants. You are our partner in the Philippines. So the over 100 pastors and 100 work leaders is part of this church. And the 70 churches used to be 150, but when I left in 96, it dwindled. Now we are rebuilding it again. The 70 churches is part of this ministry. And pray for the one that we are opening now in Abu Dhabi, United Arab Emirates. We have a pastor there now. His wife is a nurse. So he went there to be with his wife, and they are pioneering a church. So hopefully, by January next year, we will launch out the opening of the first service. They are having Bible study now. So that will be a part of Metro Praise. So the 500 outside the country is not going to be too far. Hello. Amen. Your money that you give to mission go farther than you ever thought. Amen. And then God said to Abraham, verse 17, arise. It is ridiculous and stupid for us to see the danger sign and not getting up to run away from it. You know, there's signs. I was traveling last month. It was raining. Going back to Wisconsin from Chicago, it was 10 o'clock at night. It was raining. And I was watching the sign of my exit, and I missed it. I did not notice it. It took me 3 more miles on the highway to get off of the exit to go to, and it delayed me 25 minutes. Why? I was not observing the sign. And when you see the sign, you better respond to what the sign is telling you. If it says, stop red light, break. Notice the sign. He said, arise. Everybody stand up. Everybody sit down. When you stood up, you changed your position. But God did not say, just rise up and stand. Do not be a monument. Do not be a sculptor. Then God said, arise. Because before you can walk, you must stand up. Hello. There are a lot of crippled, spiritually crippled in the church who just enjoy to be sitting down, enjoying the blessing of God, but doesn't want to be involved to any ministry of the church. They're just content to sit down. It's time to change our position. If you sit down for too long in one place, you're going to get tired. You're going to have cramped. And I notice it as I go a little bit older. If I sat down for so long, when I got up, it takes a few seconds for me to go. My body is stiff. Not like when I was 30 years old. As I'm 80 years old now in July, sometimes. And you need to like that. And then I say, the doctor told me, when I got a severe attack of gout, I said, even if it is painful, keep walking. As you keep walking, you might cry with pain, but you're loosening. You know, and it's true. As I keep walking, okay, the pain diminishes. And now, maybe you're complaining too much. Maybe you're too critical. Now it is because you've been sitting down. You're stagnating. It's time to change the position. It's time to say, I'm rising up. I'm going to be involved. I will participate. I'm going to sanctify myself. I'm going to separate myself. You're sitting there watching television. God says, it's time to pray. Okay, Lord, but you're not standing up. You're still glued to the tube. It's time for us to arise. Let's change our position in God. And then it said, do not just stand up there. Keep walking. I like that song. Walk, walk, walk in the light. I cannot remember the lyrics. But it said, walk, walk, walk in the light. As a matter of fact, there was that radio program in Moody, walk in the light. The pastor, you know the pastor, the guy. Okay, it's time for us to walk. You'll never arrive to where you are going if you cannot start walking. Walking means progress. Walking means enlarging your territory. Walking means overcoming all the hurdle in front of you. Hallelujah. We can leap over the wall. Stop for a moment. Do you know where you're going? Keep walking. As you keep walking, it getting closer. Hallelujah. And you can see it in the day, and because your destination is now visible to you, you are more encouraged. It's almost like one who's involved in track and field. He's losing air, but when he saw the finish line, he got to encourage a few more steps, and he pushed himself, and then he said, I arrive. Then he said, do not just stand up there. Keep walking. And then lastly it said, move. Hallelujah. Move. I shall not be moved. The Spirit of God is moving. I shall not be moved. The Word of God is convicting. I shall not be moved. It's time for us to move forward. Hallelujah. A water that's not flowing eventually will become stagnant. Keep moving. It's time to move. Hallelujah. It's time to move with God. Amen. Jesus Christ is coming soon. It's time for us to separate ourselves, hear the voice of God, obey the word of God, the voice of God, arise, walk, and keep moving, keep walking. There's no stopping point. Somebody asked me not too long ago, said, Bishop, after 64 years in the ministry, did you ever thought about stopping? Now that you are already almost 80 in July, said, have you ever thought about quitting? I said, no. Because when I consecrated myself to the Lord, when I sanctified my life to the Lord, I reckon it into myself that my life doesn't belong to me. It belongs to Him. I surrendered my life to Him. Nothing can stop me as long as I am breathing. I'm going to keep moving, and I'm going to keep walking, and I'm going to keep listening to the Lord, and I will keep seeing what God has promised for me. Then I will possess it, because I believe that if I can see it, I can possess it. Could you stand up with me, please? A call to consecration. A life of separation. Hallelujah. Amen. And ears hearing to the voice of God. Responding by arising to where you are. Changing your position. And then walk. Walking means agreeing with God. Because how can two walk together, Amos said, unless they are agreed? So when you walk with God, you mean to say, I consecrate myself, I separate myself, and I'm going to agree with God. I'm going to walk with Him. And do you walk to the valley of the shadow of death? You have nothing to fear because He's with you. And His rod and His staff, they comfort you. Amen. So this morning, it's time for us to come to the altar and say, Lord, I offer you my life. You paid for this life by the life of your Son. Now I'm giving it to you. And I just been reminded with the quotation, the quote from Eleanor Powell said, who said, and I quote, what you are is God's gift to you. What you become is your gift to God. And we can only become what God wants us to be when we come to the altar, consecrate ourselves, sanctify ourselves, separate ourselves solely for the glory of God. The altar is open. We'll pray for you. Come and say, Lord, here am I. I surrender my life to you. I'm going to walk. I'm going to move forward. I'm going to listen and obey the things that you want me to do. I'm going to ask for you to come to be blessed, to be healed. Because when you consecrate yourself to the Lord, healing will flow. The provision of God will flow. But it's time to look at into ourselves and say, Lord, where do I stand in my relationship with you? Do I fully surrender my life to you? Do I really mind fully your purpose and your will in my life? And right there, begin to say, Lord, here am I. I surrender my life to you. Hallelujah, oh God. Holy Spirit, come. Burn the sacrifice in the altar. Let the fire of God consume us today until nothing of us is left except the glory of God is revealed in us, for us, and through us. Holy Spirit, burn within our spirit. Consume us with your fire. Consume us, O Lord, with your desire. Consume us with, oh God, with your spirit. No longer I that lives, it is Christ that lives in me. I surrender all, oh God. Koramanda labakasa kayamando. Hey, kiamandele libosanda. Release your people, oh God. Hallelujah. To the spirit of consecration and dedication to the purpose of God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Burn within our spirit, O God. Burn, O God. Holy Spirit, consume us. Consume us right now. In the name of Jesus. Purify us. Purify us, O Lord God. Purify us this morning, Lord. Father, I pray for your touch. The Spirit of the Lord be upon you. God Almighty, release the anointing in the name of Jesus. God is touching you right now. Receive in the name of Jesus. My brother, God, take hold of his heart, take hold of his mind, take hold of his spirit in the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God, touch my brother right now in the name of Jesus. Speak to him, Lord. Speak in the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord.